conducted, and I think it'd be helpful, and even a reminder to those who are here.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Well, amen. It's good to be back in Black Creek.
Amen.
And I can say Black Creek here. Amen. And some people don't say, what's a creek, right? Amen, amen. Well, a little bit about us. The night I got saved, I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say, but please help. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And God took me at my word. Little did I know that he would, but he did. Amen. So be careful how you talk to God. He does take you at your word.
Yes,
amen. But I'll say this. I have no regrets having prayed that prayer. I have no regrets in what the Lord has done. Amen. Our ministry started out on the mission field, and God saw fit to make that completely indigenous. The men we trained are doing a better job than we can or ever did. Amen. And then we came home, pastored for a short while, and the Lord taught us many things. We went through a lot of things just on the mission field and then in the pastorate. And God was preparing us for what we've been doing now for over 20 years. We call it Onessa Forest Ministry. You say, why you call it that? Because some preacher said I needed to name my ministry, so I did. Amen. And the verse God gave me was in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord grant mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. When I was in Rome, he came and saw him. When he was in prison, amen, he came and saw him. Wasn't ashamed of his chain. And God has taught us so many things because he's used those things to help other people that are struggling, other people that are having problems. You realize that right now in America, there's 1,500 pastors a month that give up their pastorate. A year, there are over 1,500 churches that close in the United States of America. I remember years ago seeing that there was a church in England. A friend of mine is a missionary, been there now for over 20 years. And that church was a pub. We call it a bar. What a shame. I've already across the state, well, not here, I'm in New York. I came across the line just a little bit ago, amen. But if you go west in Pennsylvania, you go out there about to where Wellsboro, just a little west of there, between there and Mansfield out in the country, there's a church that's now a restaurant. Amen. What once was a place, amen. Listen, you're sitting in a strange place this morning.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you mean a strange place? This building has been here how many years? And the church has been here since, what, 1850? And it's still preaching the gospel?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God, but I want you to know it's not so everywhere.
That's right.
And the Lord has burdened my heart for my own country,
yes,
as well as the world. I've been in every continent but one preaching the gospel, been invited there, just can't get there. But America needs help.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
And so we've been doing everything we can for the last several years just to help American churches stay open. Churches that have been closed, were about to close. We went to one 3 years ago. The bank was locking the doors. We pulled up. They were ready to foreclose and shut it down. We were able to back them down from that. And 8 months later, the church went from being 3 months in arrears to being 6 months ahead. They had a pastor. They were doing well. They're still doing good today. They were down to 12 people. I think a couple weeks ago, I heard they had 120 people in services.
Amen.
So amen. So God is still on the throne. And one of the things that's lacking, and you've got something here that not every church has. You've got a teacher of the Bible.
Yes.
Right.
You've got a man who can teach you the truth.
Right.
Amen. Not every church has that. So they send their young people off to Bible college. Really, I think they should take Bible out of the name.
That's right.
Most of them.
Yes, sir.
Amen, because they don't teach Bible.
That's right.
They don't teach them anything solid. They teach them how to administrate and orchestrate, but they don't teach them how to know God. They don't teach them how God works in his book. They don't teach them that book.
That's right.
Thank God you got a pastor. Amen. You don't need to go off to a college to learn your Bible. You can learn it right here.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you want, God calls you to go ahead. Make sure you got a good one. Amen. And what about 3 years ago, I was riding out across between West Texas and Arizona. We would always go out that way, out to the west. We've been going west now for almost 20 years. And As I was traveling, as I often do, most every day, I'm meditating and I'm talking with the Lord as I travel, as I drive. And I just said to the Lord, I wasn't really even taking stock of my own words other than just what was in my heart. And I said, Lord, I kind of miss teaching. I love to teach people that want to be taught.
Amen.
And to watch their eyeballs pop when they get it. When God opens the eyes of their understanding and they understand what God's saying in there. And man, it becomes real to them then. And I said, Lord, I miss that. Little did I know what that would bring, but a dear friend of mine, probably my oldest friend in the ministry, I say not the oldest in age, but longest time friend, him and I were preacher boys and amen together. And he was in the church where God called me to preach in Las Vegas, Nevada. I used to say, is there anything good that comes out of Las Vegas? And I'd say, I-15 headed north. Because that's away from California, amen. But now there's something good going on in Las Vegas. Amen. There was before, I just didn't get to be a part of it as much. But there's a good church out there, and the young pastor was my friend's son-in-law, whom I mentored him along the way. And he came to me. Now, little did I know that as I was saying that to God, that within less than a month, my dear friend would die suddenly. He died of, they didn't even call it an aneurysm because it didn't bubble. It just exploded. He had a vessel in his head that just exploded and went into pieces. And he died suddenly. And he wanted to go in the pulpit. He didn't want to be a burden and be old and have to have somebody take care of him. God answered that prayer, 55 years old. So he passed away, and his son-in-law became the pastor, and he came to me, the son-in-law, and he said, Preacher, would you pray about something and consider something with me? I said, what's that? He said, would you consider coming out here and starting up our institute again? Brother McKenzie was the only teacher we had, and we need someone. He said, I can't do it. I can't carry the load. Would you consider that? I just looked at him and I said, it's already been considered. I've already talked to the Lord about that. It's amazing. See me after church and I'll show you some pictures. Amen. We've had our first group reach the associates level. We gave 5 preacher boys and associates. Two of them. One of them just graduated, but 2 of them are still not graduated from high school yet. And they've attained an associate's degree. Amen. And so God's good, amen. What are you doing? I'm saying this. We need to train more people, amen.
Yes,
listen, the work is greater than it's ever been. Amen. Because now not only have we got the churches that are doing something to keep going, but we've got those that are struggling to help them get up and go again, amen. And God's enabled us to do that. I was just telling Brother Dale before church, we've got a young lady. She's a teenager. She just graduated high school. And her father texted me. They're from Wisconsin, but they live in Las Vegas. And they came back to Wisconsin to take a month off and just be with the family. And went to a church where, you know, they're not Bible believers. They tote funny Bibles, you know. And a guy handed his daughter. Of course, this guy had, you know, other, you know, starry-eyed ideas. He handed his 18-year-old daughter this book on the King James controversy. And it was written by a guy who doesn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And he said, Brother, you'd have been proud of her. She tore him to shreds. And she said, I welled up. He said, because it taught that guy 2 things. Don't mess with my daughter spiritually. And don't even think about asking for my daughter's hand. Amen. Amen. But God's been good. We have seen God move these last couple of years like never before. I was going to preach this morning on the price for power, but the Lord had other plans. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want the power of God, you can have it. But there's a price to pay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I remember hearing the story, and then I'll get to preaching. But I remember hearing the story of George Grenfell when he went to Africa as a missionary. He surrendered to that mission field. He believed God had called him to the head of the Congo River to carry the gospel. This was back in the days of the sailing ships. And as he went forward to surrender, he got up about here and the pastor looked down at him and he said, are you willing to pay the price? If you're not willing to pay the price, don't bow your knee.
Amen.
But he said, if you're willing, then bow your knee. He said, I am willing. He turned to a young lady who was not yet his wife, only his fiancée at the time, and said, would you pay the price with me? She came forward and they both bowed. They gave their life to Jesus Christ to carry the gospel to the Congo River. Halfway to the Congo, she died of the fever. They buried her at sea, and as they were rolling the body off into the water, some other men of his compadres and companions came to him and they said, George, you've been ravished. Return home. He said, I will not, sir, return home. I must pay the price. Today, we bury my wife. Tomorrow, we go on. They buried his first wife. And the story, it goes on and on, but he wound up burying three wives and four children along the Congo River. Actually, two of them buried along the river, one at sea. But he buried four children along that river. He wrote in his journal, having evangelized the entire Congo River from start to finish, all the way to the head. He's coming down a boat, and as he gets to the mouth of the river, he writes in his journal. He said, 20 years ago, I came to the cliffs at the mouth of the river God has called me to, and the natives drove me off. He said, today I come to the cliffs at the mouth of the river, and a choir of 2,000 sings all hail the power of Jesus' name.
Amen.
He paid the price, and it was worth it. Amen.
Yes.
Hey, if God wouldn't save Danny, it'd still be worth it. Why? Because he'd be doing the will of God. Amen. Right. And there's no greater place on the planet. There's no greater thing to be in. There's no greater thing to do, amen, than the will of God for you. Amen. So I encourage everybody, get in it and do it with all your might. Amen. You will not regret it, I guarantee you. Take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah chapter 2. If you're looking for a dissatisfied customer, Walmart's that way. I think that's Olean. Amen. They have a line down there you can stand in and complain to them. Amen. But don't look for one here. I am a satisfied customer.
Amen.
If I complained this morning, I'd have to lie to do it. Don't get me wrong. My flesh still does from time to time. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, God is good all the time. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, thank you so much for the privilege and the joy it is to be back in this place. Now, Lord God, I pray the best I know how. I give you the vessel once again. God, I plead the blood of my Savior. Ask you to wash it, cleanse it anew and afresh, and fill it to overflowing once again, Lord. Might that overflow meet the need of each heart here. Lord, save the lost, strengthen and encourage the saints of God. And I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning on the worst judgment on earth. The worst judgment on earth. You see, there's a judgment coming on this earth. And the sad part of it is there's a lot of people, even Baptists, who don't believe it's judgment. Amen. The first 3.5 years of that tribulation are going to be judgment. But people don't, they miss it. And we're going to see this morning the worst judgment that anybody could fall into. How many of you have stood before a judge? It wasn't fun, was it? I wasn't looking forward to it, were you? Amen. There's nothing worse than the sound of that gavel smacking the wood. Amen. I mean, that's, Say, why? You know then you're on the wrong side. If you're on the right side, it feels okay, right? Amen. But the worst judgment, we'll see what it is about the amen. As we look into this thing, this scene is quite different. You know, everybody likes that scene where Jesus Christ is the advocate. Amen. He stands between God and us. And he, you know, amen, he pleads with the blood and everything's fine, everything's wonderful. That is a wonderful case. Yeah. But this is a different case. This is God pleading with his people. And he's not pleading their case. He's pleading with them. He's reasoning with them. As he said in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. So he's reasoning with them. He's got some things he wants them to understand. God's the prosecutor. Amen. And these folk, the Jews here are, amen, still the defendant. But the only advocate in this case is them. The only advocate, amen, and I'm talking about now a personal case, a personal judgment between you and I and our maker. Amen. There's no advocate. It's God reasoning with us over the condition. This isn't the final judgment. It's not the one that determines, amen, eternity, or not the one that determines reward in the case of a Christian. This ought to be a daily judgment. Why? Because the Bible says if you judge yourselves, what? You should not be judged. You see, what I see is I meet a lot of people who live their life like there's never going to be a judgment. Amen. I'm talking to folks that profess salvation. Amen. And here's what was going on with the Jews, basically. You know, F. Lee Bailey said a man that has himself for a lawyer has a fool for a claim.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, here we are. Amen. There's nobody but you and God, amen, in your conscience this morning. There's nobody, amen, daily that we would face other than God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the first time I finally came face to face with God, say, man, you saw it? No. I'm talking about reasoning and reality, amen, my condition before God. The first time that happened, it was terrible. But it wound up being good because I got saved.
Amen.
I realized I didn't match up. I realized that without God, man, I'm nothing. And I need God. And man, the more I'm saved, the longer I'm saved, the more I see that I need God every day.
That's good. Yes, sir.
And so here it is, amen, to reason with God. But again, to set the stage, get a clear picture. In verse 2, Jeremiah is told, cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Again, this is akin to what God told Isaiah to do in Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud unto my people and spare not. Amen. Why? Because this thing is serious. It's not something to be taken lightly. He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. It's also akin to what Ezra did in Nehemiah chapter 8 when he stood upon a pulpit of wood and made plain the sense, made clear the understanding so that, listen, they could understand what God was trying to get through to them. Amen. There's too many people that make the Bible gray today. It's black and white. Amen. God is not gray. He doesn't have gray areas. You either do or you don't.
That's right.
Amen. You're either in or you're out.
Yep.
Amen. You're either right or you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Amen. When it comes to God. Well, you know, you're sort of right. Well, there's no sort of right. Sort of right is wrong.
That's right.
Amen. And so God tells Jeremiah to cry unto him in a fashion that would make them understand and get their attention. Amen. So that's what he's doing here. Now, put yourself in this picture as an Israelite. Okay? This is the same God that created you. This is the same God that, amen, gave your leader Moses the law. This is the same God who spake from the mount. This is that same God. It's not some false God. And what have they been doing? They've been following after false gods. It's not like he's not like them, right? And listen, he knows what time they got up this morning. He knows what time they went to bed last night. You know, the average Baptist goes to bed about midnight, you know, and tries to wake up Sunday morning before church, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Amen. This is that God who knows all about it. Now listen, if he were to bring a case against you and against me, how would that be this morning? How would that be? He said again in verse 9, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord." Again, he's not pleading, you know, to please come. Let's, you know, please, please. No, he's telling you how it is. He's presenting your case to you. That's what he's doing here. He's presenting their case to them. First of all, he tells them the way it was, or the way it used to be. The way it used to be. Look there in verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth." Well, I could say a lot on that thing, but you know one of the things I notice in Baptist churches nowadays? Kindness is a lost trait.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Boy, just fry them and, you know, let God sort them out. That's the average Baptist. I mean, toward other Baptists, toward other church members. Amen. And we're told, be ye kind one to another. Mm-hmm. Amen. But God said, I remember thee. I remember when you were just a little boy. I remember when you were just a little girl. Man, you remember when that was? You couldn't wait until daddy got home. You remember how it was when you couldn't wait to spend time with your heavenly father? Man, back when you first got saved, it was all the time. Now, you know what we got? I take my cell phone off. I usually leave it in the car. I forgot to this morning. But it's over there. But you know, now we've got all these things. You got yours on you? Can I borrow it? You don't have it on you? Praise God, he doesn't have it on him. Thank you. That thing right there. That thing right there has gotten more people into more trouble than anything I've ever seen. Amen. And it's caused good people to waste more time than anything I know of. Now, are you preaching against cell phone? No. We're in a society in a day where you better have one. I wouldn't let my wife go out in the traffic in Las Vegas without a cell phone. Why? She may have to call me quick, and I may have to run and get her. But I'm simply saying this. Most people, their cell phone owns them. Everything they got is on that thing. They got 45 games on there. Hey, amen. And I watch them, man. They chase the little... for hours. And they never catch the thing. Oh, but I made level 6. Whatever that is. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And before you know it, have you ever noticed, have you ever gotten into the electronic games and before you know it, you notice you wasted an hour?
Yes, sir.
Or two? Or three? Why? I hate them. Amen. I try to make it so that, amen, I control it. Amen. For that reason, I don't have games on my cell phone. Amen. You can have them. God bless you if you can control. That's all. What I'm trying to say is, listen, remember the way it was when it used to be when you get up in the morning and the first thing you did was not head for the coffee pot or head for, amen, the refrigerator. The first thing you did was you headed for God. And you look for God. And you expected God to show up. Why? Because you went looking for Him. And you did your best to get you prepared for Him. Amen. But now, beloved, what are we preparing for? What are we expecting? Listen, when you pray, do you expect God to answer? Or do you just go through the motions now because that's the religious act that Baptists do?
That's good. Yes.
Listen, I pray, but listen, when I pray, I'm expecting God to answer. Why? Because I just got talking about how I was just talking to Him. Amen. And boom, next thing you know, I'm teaching in a Bible institute. Well, you better expect God to answer what you're talking about.
Amen.
Why? Because He hears everything. He sees everything they're doing. He's already told them so. Amen. Remember the way it was? Man, remember how when you were a kid? How many of you went fishing with Dad when you were a kid? Did you stay up half the night in expectation and anticipation? Man, we're going fishing in the morning. And you couldn't sleep. Why? Because I'm going fishing with Dad in the morning. Man, we're going to catch bass and we're going to catch bluegill and we're going to... Man, are we ever going to catch him? Huh? Man, just this morning, I got up with
with just a little bit of expectancy. Open my Bible. I got notes now that I didn't have before. Why? Because my Father spoke to me. He showed me things I'd never seen. Brother Dale, I've been through that book. I quit counting at about 65 times. I can't remember how many now. And I don't remember how many since. Why? Because my flesh will bother.
Yeah, look how many times you've read the Bible.
I quit counting. But after 40 years, brother, I'm still there, and there's still new nuggets every day in that book. And it's still just as fresh as it was the day I got saved.
Yes,
what a blessing.
Amen.
He remembers. He tells them the way it was, the way it used to be. He remembers. He tells them about when they were the loyal bride. He says, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Amen. That land would be the desert wilderness that the Lord led him through. The dry lands with no water, with very little vegetation. But yet God fed him every morning. God gave him water. God saw to it that their shoes didn't wear out in that desert sand and desert heat. Listen, you walk on sand long enough, especially for 40 years, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go through some shoes.
Yes.
It's got to be God. Amen.
Amen.
I've got a tire on the back of my car right now that's got about 100,000 miles on it. Amen. And still got half the tread. Say, what is that? That's God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to have something in there. Man, you better get God on this thing. He remembers when they were loyal, man. Listen, they didn't go running after the other gods. They didn't go running after the newest thing. They didn't go running for the newest doctrine. Man, people are leaving good churches today because they had somebody itch their ear.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Somebody tickled them and said, coochie, coochie, coo.
That's right.
And now they're following some nut job, having left a good church. And believe me, the nut jobs are out there, and that, amen, that electronic gizmo will get them nut jobs right in your lap.
Sure.
From everywhere.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I can tell you story after story about nut jobs that I've had to expose while teaching because he was messing with my students.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
And sending people into the church to divide the church. On purpose. I'm an old wolf. When I was in the church, amen, and not fully engaged somewhere, I was my pastor's wolf, and I still am a wolf. I'm sorry, not wolf, excuse me. Guard dog.
Yeah, we like that.
I said that wrong. Guard dog. Why? Why? Because I can spot a wolf.
Amen.
Amen. I can spot them every time. I've not missed yet. By God's grace, an old man of God named Jack Wood taught me some discernment and how to discern spirits. And brother, I'm telling you, you can spot a wolf a mile off if you're just in that book and faithful to God. Amen. And know what to look for. And I'm telling you, they're out there in force today. And people are being swallowed up by wolves, man, following after wolves. And then the wolf gets on the internet and says, my church runs 300 and it's smoke and mirrors. I've been by the church, man. You couldn't get 50 people in the building if they were soaking wet and shrunk. Amen. God said, I remember when you were a loyal bride. I remember the love of thine espousals. I remember when you couldn't wait till we could get together. And he says, when you were the Lord's bread. There in Jeremiah 2 verse 3, he said, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. Listen, I remember when you lived holy and righteous and gave me the first of everything. Amen. I was just looking as I was reading this morning. One of the things the Lord gave me was how, would you rather have God's man or a king? And one of the things that king did was demand a tenth of all the stuff that made money. Amen.
Yeah.
He tried to take the place of God. Amen.
He said, remember. I remember when you gave me the first fruits of all your increase. You know, the first fruits of your day. The first fruits of your life. The first fruits of your time. The first fruits. Remember when God got the first fruits? You know what he's saying? I remember the way it was. Is that how it is with you this morning, the way it was? Is there a time when it was better? Is there a time when your love was there and boy, you just couldn't wait to love on God? Is there a time in your life when it used to be so, but today it's not so? Something's wrong. Then in verse 4 he said, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of Israel. You know what he does? He begins to question here about verse 5. What iniquity of your fathers found in me? You know what he said? Listen, what did they find wrong with me? Why would God ask such a question? Because they're not following after God anymore. They're following after another God.
Yep.
What did I do wrong? Hey, listen, man, this is the same God. I'm the same God, he's telling me. I fed you in the wilderness. I kept your shoes on you. I kept clothes on your back. I took care of you. And when you complained, he said, I saw to it the complaint was taken care of. What have you found wrong with me? Anybody got any accusation against God this morning?
Come on.
I'm telling you, God is good. If we all got what we deserved, including this preacher, man, we'd be in hell with our back broke, frying like an egg, since we've been saved. But thanks be to God, man, we're not. Why? Because God is good. God is gracious. And God knows exactly what we need when we need it. Amen. This last trip, amen, from the west back has been one of the craziest we've ever had. But I'm here to tell you, it's been one of the most wonderful. I've seen the hand of God. Amen. In ways I hadn't seen it. I've seen it before, but not like it was this trip. You know what I mean? And it was amazing how God provided, how God took care of it. One of the incidents, I'm driving across Arizona. And I get to this spot that's a hot spot for the Hopi wackos. They're medicine men. They're evil workers. Last year, that's where we hit a tire tread. And it wiped out the side, some tires, and it wiped out some parts on the motorhome. I had to have them taken over here and had the exhaust welded and all this kind of stuff. That same spot this year, we're driving across here, and all of a sudden, a freak wind just goes and slapped the right corner of my windshield and popped the left side out. I didn't know what it was. I had to drive about 25 or 30 miles, and I pulled over where I could finally stop for the night, and I saw it. It hadn't fallen out yet. Wow. I said, Lord, what do I do? It's Friday night of a holiday weekend. How do I do this? Lord, to put your hand right there. So I did. I said, okay, now what? I said, hit it with this one. So I went, now move it like that. So I started working, and all of a sudden, pop, the windshield went back in without cracking. That's God. Then we get, the next day, we head out, and we get to 40 miles from Amarillo, Texas, where we're supposed to be, and all of a sudden, boom! And my wife says, not again. The last time we blew a tire was $4,500 till we got it fixed. All the damage it causes. This one blew. And as I look, and she's going, not again. I'm looking at this thing going, man, God is all around this thing. I'm watching. There's a guy I'm passing. He didn't get nothing. He thought he blew a tire, so he pulled over and checked. But I'm watching as all my stuff goes out of a bay, which right behind the tires, which always happens when you blow a rear tire on a motorhome. And here goes all this stuff, and I'm watching it just get strewn down the highway. And I'm going, well, there goes all that stuff. And then I'm sitting there, and it dawns on me, there was a jack in there. Brother Dale, I had a floor jack, about like this, a small one that I used on my dolly. It would fit under the dolly axle, and I could jack it up and change the tire on the dolly. A man had given me that out of our home church. It was in a little plastic case. I never saw that jack. The guy tells my wife, he said, I saw your jack when it left. Listen, that jack didn't go under the dolly. It didn't go under the car. Had it gone under either one of those two, it would have been disastrous. And a lot more to fix
The jack weighed about 15 pounds. Have you ever been hit by 15 pounds at 70 miles an hour? It would have been disastrous. And God somehow got that jack out of that bay, out of the way. The guy behind me didn't get it. I didn't get hit by it. And I still don't know where the jack is. I tried to find it. It's gone. I walked all the way back to trail. I found nothing but one little caster wheel and a little piece of plastic from the case. The rest of it disappeared. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, God is still good all the time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What happens? God starts questioning. He says, what have you found wrong with me? Man, if we complained about God, we'd have to lie to do it. God is good. He doesn't ask the question because he needs the answer. He asks the question because they need the answer. Amen. Verse 6, he said, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. Amen. Listen, he said, your fathers didn't even ask those questions. What's up with you? The reason for the question, verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. You know what's going on today in our churches? We have an appreciation problem because we have an acknowledgement problem. We don't want to acknowledge God for who he is and what he does. Man, when you start acknowledging God for who he is and what he does, it makes you realize just how important God is in this thing and how much you need him. And when you get that figured out, man, it makes you so thankful because then you have to realize what you are, what I am. And the very thought, and Brother Hain, I believe, alluded to it some earlier. Amen. The very thought that God would even think on us is beyond my comprehension. I have to shave me every morning. I have to brush my teeth every morning. I have to look at this thing in a mirror. Praise God, you don't. Amen. But what do you think? I mean, put yourself in those shoes. With God, the holy, righteous, amen, God who saved you, who created you, amen. And he even thinks on you. You know, said one of the verses that really just thrills my soul, but it blows my mind. Psalm 40 and verse 5, many, O Lord my God, of thy wonderful works and thy thoughts which are to usward.
Amen.
You know what God's thinking about right now? You.
Amen.
Me. That's what he's thinking about. God don't care who wins, you know, the Daytona 500 or the World Series or, I mean, they don't even have commentary on it in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
God, his only concern, what is he thinking about? Us. Personally, not all collectively at once, but he's thinking about you personally. Me personally. Amen. And he brought them to a good land. And I'm here to tell you this morning, man, God has brought us to a good land. I've got a CD that some folks gave me. And there's a song on there. It's about Grandpa. And every time I hear it, I start getting choked up. Because it's little kids singing it. And they say, Grandpa, tell us about the good old days. You know, did lovers really fall in love to stay? And did they promise to stay with each other and then stay with each other come what may? You know, and it goes on about the way things used to be in our country. And then it says, Grandpa, please tell us again about the good old days. The Bible says, what is the reason the former days were better than these? The reason was men feared God.
Yes, sir.
And men were more concerned about what God thought.
Yes, sir.
And they weren't—they've considered the fact that they're going to stand before him and face him and have to give an account. You know what God's doing? God is so good and God is so gracious. Do you know what he's doing right here in Jeremiah 2? Right here in Jeremiah 2, he's pleading with them. Why? Because he wants to, amen, get them right now. So they don't have to do it all later. Because later the account's going to be bigger and the mess is going to be greater. Amen. We know from history what happens. And God in His graciousness is saying, hey Israel, wake up! Wouldn't it God that God would give me an opportunity nationwide to scream to the church, hey church, wake up! Why? Because God doesn't delight in pulling out the whip, amen, and pulling out the rod. No, what parent does? You're sadistic if you do.
Yes,
but you know it needs to be done for righteousness' sake and for, amen, help later on. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to correct the problem before it gets bigger. We have an appreciation problem because we have an acknowledgement problem. Acknowledge Him. Give Him the glory. Man, I remember the days in meetings where the preacher would say, most times he didn't even have to ask. Somebody had a testimony. Somebody back there going, preacher, can I say something? And man, they'd start testifying about the goodness of God and how God had brought them through something. And how this happened or that happened, how God, amen, supernaturally worked in their life and brought about a glorious end. Now the preacher has to beg. It's like pulling teeth out of a duck. Say, what's that? You can't find teeth in a duck. If you do, he's a freak. Come on, anybody got a testimony? Yeah, one, didn't God do anything for you this week? Okay, how about this year? How about the last 10 years? Amen. Give Him the glory, man. Hey, you're still breathing. You took nourishment this morning. That's a good thing. Amen. And then admit the wrong. Amen. When was the last time you admitted anything wrong to God? Then act. Verse 8 says, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Listen, nobody, especially the priests, the leaders, amen, the spiritual leaders, they're not doing their job. And brother, I'm telling you, there's guys, I could name guys right now, man, they wave this book right here. Bless God, I'm a King James Bible believer. And they don't no more believe it than they believe there's cheese on the moon. Thanks be to God, man, when you're in a place right now where a man stands up and preaches, thus saith the Lord, and it's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It's not Amen Time, Newsweek, or Amen the Buffalo News. Amen. I'm all for current events, but you better be in that book, amen. What is it? The priests weren't doing their job. How did they expect the people to do their job? You know what I can say here? Yes, Brother Asquith is human. He's already admitted that in the pulpit this morning. He's human. But he's God's man for this place.
Yes, sir.
You realize God sent you God's man? You didn't get a wacko. He might be a little nuts, but he's not wacko. Amen. When it comes to that book, he's not wacko. And God sent you somebody that would give you the truth. And then, what did God do just a few years ago? God sent you another more seasoned man. Amen. Just to validate this man. And just to help this man. And to help you. And he has done exactly that. Amen. But it's not so everywhere. The prophet didn't alarm the people. So now God says, okay, this is how it's going to be. It's time for a change. And if you don't change, you're going to be a picture of the heathen. There in verse 9, he says, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods,
But my people have changed their glory, that's God, amen, for that which doth not profit. You know, the electronics, the games, the books, the cars, the clothes, the jobs, the toys. Amen. All those things that don't profit. I'm not against having all that stuff, but if that stuff has you, you're in trouble. God begins to illustrate. It's like turning to the jury. You know what he does? Be astonished, O ye heavens! Amen. You know why? Just because it could happen to you. He told him, said, be horribly afraid. Be very desolate. Listen, the Muslims haven't changed their God. But yet, Christian people have. Amen. The Buddhists haven't changed their God. They still, you know, sit cross-legged and do whatever Buddhists do. Amen. Then the indictment proclaimed, look there in verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. He starts to reveal their identity. Reveal their personality. Is he a servant? He said, are you? Are you a homeborn slave? Then why are you spoiled? Amen. Why has everybody got your stuff now? Amen. The stuff that you held stock in. Amen. Is this who you are? That's what he's trying to tell them. Is this what you want to be the rest of your life? Listen, if you're comfortable in Zion, let me poke you with a pin. Why? Don't get too comfortable. Isn't that what we're looking for today? This morning?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Why? Because if you get too comfortable, then you get complacent, and then you get lazy, and then you don't remember God anymore. And then you wind up like Israel did.
Yes.
And there are so many parallels in our nation today. I was reading it even again this morning in Samuel as I was reading through there. I saw the things where they cried out for a king. Make us like all the other nations. I remember hearing a man say that who was our president a few years back. Well, here we are in a big mess. Now we got a man trying to straighten it out, but good luck. The personality is revealed, then the punishment is proclaimed. In verse 15, the young lions roared upon him and yelled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. The children of Naph and Tophanes have broken the crown of thy head. Now we're coming to the worst judgment that God could ever put on anybody. And that's to leave them to themselves. I don't want to make the choice in my life. Now I have a choice, but I'm glad I got one that says, choose you this day. Which one will you have? I'll take you, Lord. I want it your way, Lord. Please don't leave me to myself. Please don't let me pick it without help, God. You got to show me. I got to do it. I want this thing to be right. Verse 17. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? And what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? You ever been to some of these heathen countries and seen their rivers? Ain't one of them clean. I mean, I've been to the Philippines several times. And about the only clear spot in the river is where it starts, the very start. Say, why? You get down to, amen, where most of them live, and the river is the sewer. And you see kids bathing in it. That's what God said is where we're headed. That's where this thing's headed. Left to themselves, man. Verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing, and thou hast forgotten the Lord, or forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. Left to themselves, what happens? The fear of God is gone. And there's no more consideration of God and what God would want and how God would do it. Amen. Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. And on it goes. He says, is this where you want to be? I don't think there's anybody in here who wants to be where they are. Amen? But is that where we're headed? Be careful, Black Creek. God sent you a man. And when he arrived on the scene, there was probably a bunch of folks that said, Hume? And there's probably been others since that said, Hume? Folks say, I ain't going to that church. That preacher's too narrow. Good. He needs to be. That's a narrow book. God's a narrow God. And he said that narrow gates, amen, where few are going to find it, but they're going to be the ones that get blessed. Amen. Give me the narrow gate. I'll take it. I'm sorry, Lord, for all of my stupidity and all of my wanderings from that narrow gate. Why? Because every time I wander, man, I get in trouble. How about you? The worst judgment on earth you think about is being left to yourself to make the decision. You got a decision to make, you better check with headquarters. Don't make it on your own. You'll mess it up. Every time. History proves it. Check with God first. Amen. Father, the best I know how, I did what you told me to do. God, I pray you take it and use it. I pray you bless God, these precious folks. You know, I love them. Lord God, it's a joy to be here. Lord, I pray we said something to help to them.
Amen.
Thank you in Jesus' name.